everybody. Hope you're all doing well. It's Monday of Holy Week. This is Encuentro. Let's begin with a prayer of St. Francis. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled, but to console. Not so much to be understood, but to understand. Not so much to be loved, but to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in forgiving that we are forgiven, and it is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Amen. The Gospel reading for today is taken from St. John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him over there, and Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil, made from genuine aromatic nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, and the one who would betray Jesus, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you. You will not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came, not because of him, but to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. You know, I once had a student at the seminary in Miami who who loved playing this song entitled "Your Love is Extravagant." It's a beautiful song. You can find it on Google or YouTube, you know. And I remember he'd play this as a meditation after the communion hymn at Mass. And I was always fascinated, not just by the lyrics of the song, but the emotions, you know, that I'd see and feel among these young men, these young seminarians, you know, discerning God's call to the priesthood. You know, there was something to the idea of a love that was so abundant and overflowing that resonated with these guys, you know, who, in spite of all the many possibilities that life offered them, were still there, you know, choosing to enter into deep discernment and prayer about where they felt God might be calling them, you know. Your love is extravagant. There's something to the action, not just of Mary, mind you, in the Gospel, that reflects that kind of love. Judas didn't like it, obviously, but it was a love that was overflowing. It was sincere, and you know, it was extravagant. You know? It wasn't just in Mary, though. You know, it was in Jesus too. You know, sadly, it was profoundly absent in Judas, you know, who for certain, you know, we can be sure, had felt that kind of love, you know, from Jesus. You know, there's a couple of lines from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans that I absolutely, absolutely love. You know, and it speaks of that kind of overwhelming, abundant, extravagant kind of love. It says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Can anything ever separate us from the love of Christ? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And then it goes on to say, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, there's a difference between that kind of love that gives everything that it has, and whose only regret is that it didn't have more to give. You know, we've heard of those lines, or familiar with those lines from St. Lorenzo Ruiz, who says, you know, if I had a million lives, I'd give it all to the Lord. There's a difference between that kind of love, that abundant, overflowing, extravagant love, and that kind of love that calculates the cost. You know? Jesus' love is that overwhelming, abundant, and extravagant kind of love. So is Mary's. Judas, he was calculating. But there's one more thing we need to notice in this gospel passage. You know, it's something I've been thinking a lot about, you know, the past couple of days. You know, love does something to us. It changes our eyes. You know, it allows us to see things in a completely different light. I mean, for Judas, the expensive bottle of perfume, you know, was something that fell into his calculus of this is how much it costs, we could use this for this particular thing. I mean, yeah, I mean, he was talking about the poor, and Jesus asks us to take care and love the poor. You know, those are the nearest and dearest persons to the heart of God. But there was something to what Mary did, okay, that went beyond, that transcended even the beauty, if you want to call it that. Although, of course, Judas was not really talking about or interested in the welfare of the poor, as the gospel makes it perfectly clear. But Mary saw something else. Judas only saw a bottle of perfume that could be sold for X amount of money and used for X, Y, and Z. Mary saw something else. Something that she offered to Jesus because she wanted to honor him. Again, you know, love changes our sight. It allows us to see things in a completely different light. Love changes us. It transforms us. And Jesus gave that love to both Mary and Judas. I mean, he took Judas in and trusted him with the finances of the group. You see, whereas Mary allowed that love that she received from Jesus to transform her, Judas appears, you know, it appears that he didn't. You know, God always makes the first move. He always loves us first. He always takes the first step. The saints tell us that. The popes tell us that. Benedict, you know, Pope Benedict was always very emphatic about that. God always makes the first move. We simply respond. He loves us first. If we allow ourselves to feel that love, to really know it by allowing it to enter into our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls, it gives us new eyes. And we begin to see things differently. We begin to give more fully. We begin to love others, ourselves, the world, just like God. We begin to love extravagantly. It is that kind of love that Mary felt in Jesus, and that she in return wanted to make him feel. When we truly love because we have experienced and accepted and embraced that extravagant kind of love that comes from the Father, we cannot but respond. We cannot but see all things as manifestations, expressions, and ways of expressing that kind of extravagant love.